Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to A Doctor in the House with Dr. Terry Mason on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
Good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason, the show, The Doctor in the House, and is always heard right here on AM 1690 WVON. And I just want to say that this year, 2021, represents the beginning of the 30th year of The Doctor in the House.
Wow.
30
Happy
years.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. This is, I don't remember exactly the month.
Let's just pick January.
Because I've got to go back and look at the exact day, because I started with this show with, at that time, Deborah Crable.
Wow.
I was a guest of Deborah Crable's and came in, and one day I came in and they said, well, Deborah Crable's not here, so you just got to do it yourself. So they, and this was over at the old studio at 3350 South Kedzie,
wow.
The same studio that Herb Kent, Lucky Cordell, and all of them. And some of the things that they used were still there in the studio. So it was really an honor for me, because I remember as a teenager growing up listening to this station. That was when we had 3350 South Kedzie. Right. So I'm grateful for the time that God has given me to be here on this show. So this represents some one day in here in 2021 will represent that anniversary. I don't remember it, but I know that this year I found a memorandum that we were doing, because I started this show on Tuesdays. And it used to be, it got to be sponsored by Mercy Hospital. Sister Sheila sponsored the show. And so I'm just grateful, and I'm grateful that we're still here, still doing what we need to do, bringing information to our community. But before we get to your guest today, I want to have them just hold on. I'm going to bring on Anthony, because we're moving forward with Mother Carr's Farm. So, Anthony, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, go right ahead, Anthony. I'm here. We're here. And
oh,
you
okay.
are live.
I'm going to mess up that. So we just want to say that we still ready to, you know, to start the farm this year, and we're looking for people to want to participate. And I was going to give out the number.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. So one of our numbers is 708-275-1975. That's the church's number, 1975. And then we have another number, which I think is directed strictly for the farm, and probably can get through even faster if any of these guys want to participate.
Right. And you want to go ahead and give that number, Tony? I mean, I can if you don't have it right offhand, but I certainly can. Because people can call, and you'll leave a voicemail. We'll get back to you right afterwards, because we have to, you know, this it's coming online, coming live, and I want to make sure that people get it. But the number is 224-499-3620. That's 224-499-3620. I'll give that number one more time, 224-499-3620. And for anything around the farm, you have questions about that, or we're going to be starting. We've got to get some guests that Dr. Watson has on today. But we will be starting our restart program, and we're going to be doing a detox this year. And for anyone who wants to get more information about that, just send an email to doc@terrymasonmd.com. That's doc@terrymasonmd.com. for more information. And we'll give that information more as we go along. This is coming in our Restart program, which also always follows the season of gluttony, which starts on Thanksgiving Day and goes through January 1st. And so we give ourselves a chance. For many, many years, we went through the Restart program. And so we're going to be providing lectures. All of it will be online. So you'll be able to do that, and we'll be taking people through a detox somewhere around the 14th to 21st of this month. So there'll be more information to the 21st of this month. So those dates may be a little flexible because we're getting it all organized. I want to make sure that people have a place to get the food that's local. And for anyone who's interested, they can just send me an email to DOC, that's D as in dog, O as in other, C as in Charlie, doc@terrymasonmd.com. And we'll make sure you get all the information. And I'll be sending out invites from that email address for those who respond. So please, if you're interested, just let me know and we'll get that information out to you. So we're going to, and I'll mention this again during perhaps right at the time we do our break at the 30. But Anthony, I just want to say that, let me just say this to you. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you and the men that are out there working with you to get this farm thing squared away. We have to take charge of our food supply as much as we possibly can. And what you and those brothers are doing out there under the vision of Reverend Gerald January is amazing. And I just want to recognize, because it's tremendous work. And this year, people, we're going to have something out there at the farm. We're going to invite you to come out there and see it and understand exactly what's going on. And Anthony, you're going to have more watermelons for us this year too, right?
Yeah, and we had a little conversation earlier. We want to get blueberries and blackberries out there. And so we really want to expand this thing out, you know, keep our guys working, keep our young people working, and then produce some great vegetables for the citizens in our community.
Absolutely. And we know that these vegetables are grown in such a way that they represent, and we're going to get them tested, Dr. Watson. We want to probably use the University of Illinois, the School of Agriculture, or one of those resources to actually do a nutrient density test. So we will know. I mean, we already believe, but we want to have the actual facts. So
evidence-based,
that's right. Because as we begin to incorporate this into the things that help us reduce the burden of cardiovascular disease and cancers and things of that nature, the data is real clear. So, you know, yes, we have our medications, yes, we have our surgeries, but we have to understand that we have to give the body the right environment to help it heal itself even after our radiation, even after our surgeries, and even after our chemo. So it all works together. So, Tony, we want to give that number out one more time so people can call, so they can call in and get their information about the farm, and that's 224-499-3620. That's 224-499-3620. And we're starting now to get the people to sign up so that we'll be ready to roll, and there's work that we're doing right now that we have to pay for to make certain that we're ready. Anything else you want to add, Tony?
Nope, I just want to suggest that if anybody want to get this stuff right, get with this restart program, and then we're hoping that we'll do it again in the middle of the year, and the vegetables that we'll be using can possibly come from the farm. And so I think that would be a blessing.
Oh, that'd be great to do two. One to start one now and do another one like late spring, early summer. Yeah. Or during the summer. People, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, and people that want to, you know, free themselves from some of these dreaded diseases like diabetes and things like that, this will really help you along.
Yes, and we have documentation. We're not just saying this. We did a study with Dr. Kim Williams, and we measured inflammatory markers. We measured insulin levels. We measured a lot of things, and we're looking to get more money to expand and do a larger study. So I'm now – thank you so much, Anthony. I'm going to go ahead and toss this over to Dr. Kareem Watson. He's got some people that are waiting in the wings, and I will give you a shout a little later, okay?
No problem. Happy New Year, Dr. Kareem.
Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you. So, Dr. Watson, yes. I am tossing it to you now. I know you have some guests all lined up.
We do. Thank you so much, Dr. Mason, and Happy New Year to everyone. And we are, as Dr. Mason, we just want to, first of all, congratulate you on 30 years of having this space and this place for us, for our voices to be heard. This was our conversation today, as you know, was a hallway conversation of about 4.5 years ago where you and Dr. Nguyen wanted to say, you know, how can we get more information out to community members? And you gave us a space, you know, to have conversations that we hope are improving the way that people are understanding about their own health. And every first Sunday, we partner with the Office of Vice Chancellor of Community Health Affairs, where we and the UI Cancer Center, we talk about what we think is a relevant topic each first Sunday. And today, with January, sometimes in the new year, we talk about kicking it off with diet and lifestyle, but this year we decided to go a different route and to think about cervical cancer screening, believe it or not, Dr. Mason, because January is Cervical Cancer Screening Awareness Month. And so we wanted to really highlight some of the work that we're doing at the UI Cancer Center, as well as Miles Square Health Center and UIC, in the areas of cervical cancer screening and prevention. So we have a really great platform of guests with us today, Dr. Mace. We have Dr. Tomiolo Akinfe, who is the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health's Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Prevention Program. Dr. Akinfe, good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, Dr. Watson. Thank you for having me.
And I am pronouncing your last name correctly.
It's Akinfe, yes.
Akinfe, great. And I also have Dr. Shannon McLaughlin she's Associate Professor of Clinical Obstetrics and Gynecology from the University of Illinois College of Medicine and the Division Director in Gynecology Oncology. And Dr. McLaughlin, we're going to have to break that long title down for us later on, but welcome, Dr. McLaughlin.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. I'm so thrilled to be here, and congrats on 30 years, Dr. Mason. This is an outstanding platform.
Thank you.
And last but not least, we have Felicia Curtis, who's Division Chief for the Illinois Department of Public Health's Office of Women's Health and Family Services. Welcome and Happy New Year, Felicia.
Good morning, Dr. Watson, and good morning, Dr. Mason. Thank you for having me. I just want to make one little note of clarification. I'm the Division Chief for Women's Health Services, where Shannon Leitner is our Deputy Director, and Dr. Ngozi Egizike is our Director. I apologize for stumbling over her name, but I wanted to give them their proper shout-out and just wanted to give our taglines, mask up, wash up, back up, sleeve up, as we all continue to do our best to help with the COVID-19 response. So thank you for having me today.
Ms. Curtis, I think that tagline deserves repeating. Can you say it a little slowly for our guests? Because we're still in the midst of a pandemic. So what is that tagline again?
Mask up, wash up, back up, sleeve up.
All right.
I like it's all up. We had enough down stuff, so I like up. Right.
I like it too, Dr. Mason. And so, Dr. McLaughlin, we're actually going to start with you this morning. This whole concept of when I was telling a friend and a colleague that we were going to talk about cervical cancer screening, and their statement to me was, Kareem, do you think enough people really even know what cervical cancer is and the impact that it has on communities, particularly communities of color? So just briefly, can you tell us what is cervical cancer and why is that such an important topic for us to talk about, particularly for our listening audience that is primarily, you know, African-Americans?
Dr. Watson, thank you for starting off with such an important question. I think I'd probably start with what is a cervix?
Even
for our ladies, yeah. For our ladies out there, they remember the cervix as being the thing at the bottom of the uterus or the bottom of their womb that has to dilate during labor for the babies to come out. And so the cervix, when it's not part of the labor and delivery process, is the bottom of the uterus that connects to the vagina. And so because it is in the vagina, it is technically exposed to the outside world. And so it's susceptible to developing a cancer when exposed to the HPV virus or the human papilloma virus. So the reason that's important is to understand that all of that emphasis that we're going to hear about from Dr. Akinfe and Ms. Curtis today about screening is that this requires a pelvic exam, which is not just an easy test. It requires a pelvic exam to detect it. And because it's caused by a virus, it really is a community issue. It's one of those cancers that is technically contagious. And we really like to catch it before it's actually a cancer, because that's our best shot at cure, is to not get it to begin with.
Dr. McLaughlin, you mentioned that it's a screenable cancer. One of the things we like to talk about is the fact that some cancers are actually screenable. We think about colorectal cancer being a screenable cancer, but we don't always think about cervical cancer being a screenable cancer, right?
Yes, that's correct. This is actually one of the most preventable cancers that are out there because it is detectable. The cellular changes or the problem that the virus causes can be detected before a cancer actually happens. And so in addition to being screenable, in other words, detectable before it's actually a cancer, it's actually curable when it's diagnosed before those cells have the opportunity to turn into a cancer.
We want to put a pin in that, Dr. McLaughlin. You said it's actually reversible when caught early. And so one of the numbers I want to give out real quickly, Dr. McLaughlin, is because you talked about a pap smear, and that's something that a primary care provider can do, correct?
That is correct. Any primary care provider doesn't have to be a doctor. Nurse practitioners and physician assistants are skilled in being able to offer this. So anyone who has any kind of connection to a clinic or a doctor's office should be able to get access if they ask about it.
And you mentioned the word access, and so that's a really great point for us to introduce our guests from the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program. But before I do that quickly, I want to let any of our listeners know, if you are in need of a primary care provider, I want you to consider Federally Qualified Health Centers and consider Miles Square Health Center. If you do not have a provider, a physician, a doctor, a nurse practitioner, and you want one, please call 312-996-2000. Again, that number is 312-996-2000. And Federally Qualified Health Centers, FQHCs, community health centers, we're able to see people despite their ability to pay. So I just want to make sure. And when we think about access, I often think about my partners in the Illinois Department of Public Health. And particularly when I think about breast and cervical cancer screening access, I think about the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Screening Program. So Dr. Akinfe and Ms. Curtis, can you
please? You know, before you get to that, let me just say this. Let me tell you that cervical cancer touches me personally.
Wow, thank you, Dr.
Yeah, my mother died from cervical cancer.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm
she died on my graduation day. And so she started, she had, well, when she started getting symptomatic when I graduated from college. And by the time, and she didn't see my graduation from medical school.
Wow. Hemodialysis as well.
Yeah, so, but the one thing I want to people to understand is that we need to get away from this notion of symptoms. Mm-hmm. Symptoms are the exact wrong way to think about cancers, particularly, in fact, most diseases, because there isn't a symptom in the earliest treatable form of the disease. That's why this conversation about screening with pap smears are so important. And women should also, and my mother, because we were poor, that relied on the public system. And unfortunately, it took her 5.5 months to get her pap smear result back.
Wow.
And by that time, she'd already had problems. But I just wanted to say to people that, yes, get your paps. They need to get the pap smears, and then they need to follow up and make sure they get a timely response on the result of the pap smear. And then maybe we can talk about some of the things that people can do to help prevent it. But before we get to the break, I wanted to just say that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mason, and just your ability to bring your lived experience to these conversations is just always humbling for us. And so before we go to the break, Dr. Kim Fay and Ms. Curtis, can you tell us, Dr. Mason talked about this importance of access. What does your program do to ensure that women have access and awareness to screenings through Pap smear and other screening mechanisms?
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Watson, and thank you so much for sharing that very vulnerable story, Dr. Mason. The IVCCP program, which is the Illinois Breast Cervical Cancer Program, provides access to free and or low-cost breast and cervical cancer screening services across the state. And we have 28 lead agencies, which are healthcare organizations that provide these breast and cervical cancer screening service to women in local communities. And right here in the Chicagoland area, we have 8 healthcare organizations. And for access, women can call the Women's Helpline or visit IllinoisCancer.org. I'm sorry, not IllinoisCancer.org. They can visit www.cancerscreening.illinois.gov to be connected to these lead agencies. And then for cervical cancer, the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program provides access to pelvic exam, Pap tests, and HPV co-testing. We also provide access to follow-up diagnostic testing should an abnormal test result come back. And then also we provide access to treatment referral for cervical cancer screening as needed. And
is
then
there a
we
number
also
that they can call Dr. Kim Fay?
Yes, there is a number that women can call. The number to the Women's Helpline is 888-522-1282. And again, the number is 888-522-1282.
I want to put a pin right there, so we're going to go to break.
Okay.
We'll put a pin right there. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to continue this wonderful conversation you're having, Dr. Watson, about a very important disease. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The Dad Joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be.
And we're right back, and this is our first Sunday. This is the UIC Cancer Sunday. And Dr. Watson, I couldn't ask for a better topic than the one, obviously emotionally for me, to deal with. But there's so many women that are out there, and we're seeing younger women. And I hope that your guests could talk about that, because this is not a disease of old women.
No.
This is a disease of younger women. And there have been a lot of theories in terms of how this virus gets transmitted. Is there sexual transmission? Mm-hmm. Are there other things that people should know about? Are there things that women should insist from their sexual partners that they should do or not do? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that, Dr. Mason. That's one of the challenges that we found, and I want to give a shout out to one of my colleagues, Dr. Vita Henderson, who actually leads a lot of our efforts around breast and cervical cancer screening. And Dr. Henderson's work really is around some of the stigma. And our work more around stigma around breast cancer screening and genetics and family history. But that stigma follows us across health topics, no matter if we're talking about diabetes, colorectal cancer, but particularly those things that have high taboo are those things that may be associated with something like a sexually transmitted infection like human papillomavirus and HPV. So, Dr. McLaughlin, can you talk just briefly about the connection to HPV and cervical cancer, and then what can we do to decrease some of that stigma?
Thanks for bringing up that question. I actually like to talk about HPV infection without using the term sexually transmitted disease or sexually transmitted infection, because it does stigmatize. And the reality is that this virus is extremely easy to transmit. It does not require what we call penetrative intercourse. It doesn't require the penis going into the vagina. Any kind of intimate contact can transmit the HPV virus from one person to another,
I want you to back up. You know, when you say, so it doesn't require penis and vagina sex or penis and rectum or whatever. So if it doesn't, then how does the virus transmit it if there is no contact?
Just by touch. So any kind of intimate contact with the genitalia can transmit the HPV virus from one place
to
another.
I need you to be specific. I know you guys are all nice doctory type people, but we get down on the show just to tell it down and dirty what it is. What's so that contact?
If you touch a vagina, if you touch a penis, if there is mouth contact with either of those places, or the anus, those are all places that the HPV virus likes to live. And so, like other sexually transmitted infections, we say use your condoms and that will protect you. Condoms are helpful, but you can transmit the HPV virus from one person to another even with the use of condoms. And that's why I don't like to think of it as an infection, because the reality is most women in this country have been exposed to the virus at some point in their life.
I think that's an important point, Dr. McLaughlin, that you just said, to reduce a lot of that stigma, that we need to really understand that this is not a condition where we need to have blame associated with it or shame associated
with
it, because the majority of Americans and the people in the world have been exposed to the human papillomavirus, the HPV virus. And one of the things that Dr. Wynn used to often say is that it's not a, and Dr. Galela Goba as well, it's not an issue of exposure sometimes as much as it is about why some women are able to clear the virus and some women are not able to what we call clear the virus.
In my previous role as the chief operating officer of the Cook County Department of Public Health, we led a massive screening campaign because, as I'm sure your guests know, HPV, but gonorrhea and chlamydia are on just unbelievable rises, particularly in the Black community. And one of the things that we learned, and we had the ENT surgeons from county, mm-hmm. because HPV is not just in the genitalia. Mm-hmm. We have women and men who have head and neck cancers that are caused by HPV. Mm-hmm. And they showed some of these tumors in the roof of the mouth and things of that nature. So I just want people, and I don't want to take any of the thunder away, but this is such a serious topic, so serious, that we need to make sure that we put it all out there.
And so, Dr. McLaughlin, in terms of screening, and before we go to our IBCCP partners, in terms of screening and age, when should a woman start getting screened with a pap smear, and what should that screening process look like?
The age of 21 is the age to start screening. And what that screening looks like is a little dependent on a number of things. From a woman's standpoint, it means going to the doctor and asking for a pap smear. That involves a pelvic exam or a speculum, those duckbill things that women are cursed with over our lifetime, to expose the cervix and take a little swab. I think I want to say it was Ms. Curtis who raised the point of HPV co-testing, which means that when the pap smear is taken, when we look at the cells, we also can collect the DNA of the HPV virus, which bottom line means we can detect the infection before it causes a problem, which is the ideal opportunity for intervention to prevent the cancer in the first place.
Dr. McLaughlin, one of the one of the educational things that I've run across that I was somewhat surprised about is how many women I run into and have a discussion saying, you know, they may be at the age of past 21 and where they should have had a pap smear, and they think that they've had, but what they've really had is a pelvic exam.
Yeah.
And I was really humbled by the number of people who may not be aware of the difference between a pap smear and a pelvic exam. Can you just talk briefly about that difference?
I see that all the time when women come in and say, I've been seeing my doctor every year. I don't know why this wasn't caught. The pelvic exam is simply the looking and the feeling. We use the speculum to take a look at things, and we use our hands to feel inside there. It's a very invasive exam, and a lot of women, for good reason, don't like getting it. And that's part of the challenge, I think, is it's not an easy exam to just go get. And there's a lot of stigma associated with that part of the exam as well. The pap smear itself is a test. So most medical tests are either blood draws or saliva, or we check the urine. This kind of test requires the pelvic exam, but they're not exactly the same thing.
Right. So there should be there's a lab test that goes along with that pap smear, right? So you should be asking for results of that test for follow-up, correct?
That is correct. And I think that one of the flaws in most systems is we get this no news is good news message. So women think if they don't hear anything, they're fine. I would encourage everyone listening that if you go and get a pap smear, you get those results.
And I really want to applaud Dr. Akinfe and Ms. Curtis on the Illinois IBCCP's navigation program. And we have a caller we're going to take briefly, Dr. Mason.
Mm-hmm. So before, two callers.
Two callers. But after our callers, Dr. Akinfe and Ms. Curtis, I want you to talk about patient navigation. So kind of think about that and talk to us a little bit about how IBCCP ensures women are navigated through the system, including receiving those results. But caller, we have Randy on the line.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Doing well.
Good. Doing well. Very good. I'm glad. And good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. I have a question concerning, I guess, I mean, I just wanted to find out if there's a way that many of these cancers can be prevented, you know, to take proactive action and stuff. Because my former wife, her name is Tracy McCoy, years ago, she died from, she had developed colon cancer, and this basically started as a child. When she was a child, she had ulcerative colitis, was then transmogrified into colon cancer, then transmogrified into cholangiocarcinoma, okay, which is a rare cancer that attacks the bile ducts. And I was just wondering, what steps can be taken to inform, you know, the general public, particularly women and as well as men, about when they what to do in order to prevent even to these different to stop developing these various forms of cancer? I mean, what in terms of diet, things that you can do, preventive measures or proactive measures that you can take in order to avoid these kinds of cancers and stuff. So I'll hang up, but I just wanted to kind of hear what you had to say regarding that.
Yeah, those are great questions, and we're
going
to get to. Thank you for calling. because that's what the show is about, is to tell you exactly what you need to do. And that's what we're talking about now. And that's what we're saying, that people should not only go get these exams, but they need to make sure they follow up, because I think one of the speakers made the point that no news is not necessarily good news.
Right.
You need to know whether it was positive or negative, and you need to get that in some writing someplace. Let's go on to, is that Rodney?
Mm-hmm.
Rodney, you're on the air. Go right here with your question or comment.
Well, sir, how are you doing, Dr. Mason? I'm just calling to congratulate you on your 30 years at VON with Doctor in the House. I have a bit of a correction. I don't know if you recall, my name is Rodney, and I was Brenda Montgomery's producer. And we started Doctor at the House with you over at WGCI. AM 1390, when we were competing talk format.
Okay. Wow.
At the end, you know. So, I mean, we were successful, but we weren't successful financially. And GCI dropped the talk format and went gospel, which they are now.
Well, you know what, though? Every little bit helps. Yeah, I appreciate that opportunity. I appreciate it, and thank you so much.
Right. But we were reunited, because eventually I became Deborah Crable's producer, like in 94, and I saw you there.
Yeah, that's where I started. I started with Deborah Crable on Tuesdays. That's when I started back at VON at that time, with Deborah Crable on Tuesdays. And then what happened, Deborah went on to move on, and next thing I know, I was doing the show. And that's how it started. But thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, you have an excellent show, Dr. Mason, and I appreciate, you know, the mentoring you're doing. You have the younger host, younger doctor there, and I appreciate you preparing the torch to be passed on.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to live long, but not forever.
That's right. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a happy new year. Well, you know, I want to continue this conversation with this, because this is so important. And people need to know that the human papillomavirus not only can cause cervical cancer, but we have throat cancers. Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of anal rectal cancers, things of that nature. So the prevention is what for the ladies and the men?
And Dr. Mason, one of the things I want to kind of stress is the importance of primary care. I know I sound like a broken record when we say that, but and to the previous caller, you know, thank you for sharing your personal story with us and the loss of your loved one. One of the things we encourage community members to do is to have a primary care provider, someone who knows your family history, because while we often recommend certain ages for screening, what should happen is that sometimes those screenings need to be based on your family history and your risk factors that may be within those families. Is that correct framing of that, Dr. McLaughlin?
Yes, I agree completely. And I would just quickly add that there are a few things that people can do to prevent cancer with additional guidance from their primary care doctor. And that's not smoking. It's good nutrition. There's actually evidence. I mean, cervix cancer is what I know about most. So I know that broccoli and cabbage and other green leafy vegetables can actually fight off the HPV virus. But in general, if you get 4 to 5 meals that include vegetables, then that helps your body build the strength to fight off the cancer. And so I was really warmed by the restart program that we're talking about at the top of the show, because that plays into all of this.
Yeah, Dr. McLaughlin, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to following up with you about, because we have a long overdue conversation about how your work can collaborate with the work that we're doing at Miles Square. And Dr. Akinfe and Ms. Curtis, one of the things that we talked about, and Dr. Mason really stressed this point, is follow-up. And we call it patient navigation, but it's really about ensuring that women get followed through the system. Can you talk about how your program ensures that proper both training of those that are doing the testing as well as follow-up?
Hello, this is Felicia Felicia Curtis speaking for the program. And case management and clinical patient navigation are key components to our program. We want to give that individualized care to our program participants to ensure they get the follow-up and additional treatment guidance or additional care planning that's needed to ensure that they have positive outcomes. We have requirements within our program that set dates and time limits for when an individual should be notified from an abnormal screening to a diagnosis. And so our lead agencies are helmed by program coordinators who are generally registered nurses, and then they are trained on how to meet that time frame to ensure that that client is notified in a timely manner and that they build and construct a care plan that takes them through the initial diagnostic screening and onto any kind of treatment that needs to be done through referral to our sister agency at HFS for Medicaid enrollment. So that is a critical part of how we function. We have our policies that are outlined, that time frame from that abnormal to that notification of a further diagnostic work needed. And so that is how we function. We also have our clinical, our community navigation piece, where we do that continuum of care for our clients, where we're looking into that community setting to find those additional resources. We're piloting that in a handful of our lead agencies, but that's where we go out into the community and we find translation, transportation, child care, all those supportive services that help that client meet and maintain the things we set for them in that care plan. And that care plan includes scheduling with providers, scheduling with labs, making sure all those things are done in a timely manner. So as Dr. Mason said, you're not getting your results 5 months or so down the line. That's unacceptable in our program. So we truly believe in that hand-holding process and that care that is given to our clients to make sure they get that support that they need around that abnormal result and possibly a diagnosis.
So if you're listening, you joined us after the break, and you have a family. We're talking about cervical cancer screening and prevention today. And Ms. Curtis and Dr. Kimfei, if there's a woman or someone who has a woman in their family who may need to be screened, but they have concern about insurance and access and awareness, what number can they call to learn more about the IBC, Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program?
They can call 1-888-522-1282. Which is the Women's Helpline.
Okay, thank you so much for that.
And the other thing I wanted to ask too, Dr. Green, because I think it's so important that people understand, what ages should someone start? If I'm a parent, mm-hmm. and I have a daughter or a son, and I'm going to say son with this too, even though we're talking about breast and cervical, but what should I make sure that my children, when should they start getting screened? And how often should it happen?
Thank you. And I want to kick that over to Dr. McLaughlin. So, and if it's okay too, Dr. Mason, I want to ask Dr. McLaughlin to answer this question with both screening and then prevention, even thinking about the HPV vaccine, the human papilloma vaccine. We know there's a lot of controversy right now as it relates to mm-hmm. conversation about vaccines, but there is an FDA-approved vaccine out there for HPV. And so, Dr. McLaughlin, can you talk about, reiterate, what ages, as Dr. Mason said, a woman should get screened, and what ages should parents and guardians start having conversations with their children and their children's provider about prevention and screening for their children?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing up the HPV vaccine. And I just want to emphasize that this is the only vaccine in the world that prevents cancer. It is a vaccine that prevents cancer. And we're talking about cervix cancer today, but all of those cancers, I believe there's 8 or 9 of them that are caused by the HPV virus. All of them can be prevented by using the HPV vaccine. But here's the tricky part. The vaccine is most effective when given long before a person gets exposure to the virus. And for that reason, the CDC recommends, as do pediatricians and gynecologic oncologists like myself and family doctors, that we give the HPV vaccine in childhood around the age of 11 or 12. And we recommend it for both girls and boys. And thank you, Dr. Mason, for bringing that issue, for highlighting it. We aren't just talking about girls. We need both girls and boys to get this vaccine at an early age, so that they're actually getting the vaccine before any kind of screening begins and before any exposure to the virus. So it's an important conversation to have
with parents to start at an early age. Now, the screening for cervix cancer itself begins at the age of 21, but I would circle back to Dr. Kareem Watson's point that having a primary care provider, be it a pediatrician, a family doc, a gynecologist, having someone who can quarterback that preventive care with you is so important here. Because even if you do get a vaccine, you still need to get your screening done. You still need those exams. You still need that testing done. And the truth is that we change the rules every year. So this year, it's the age of 21 to start with screening, but that could change next year. And so the message I would give is to emphasize that connection with a primary care provider who can make sure that you are getting the things that you need at whatever age you are.
Thank you for that. We have another caller, Dr. Mason. Maddie, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm enjoying this information. So, and thank you so much to all of you, especially Dr. Terry Mason, for putting this out, because we need this so badly, the public, because there's so much we don't know about the situations with our health and who to turn to. So I was wondering, Dr. Kareem Watson, if I called the number that you left for Miles Square Health Center, would that be the number that I could reach you on?
It is, or I can even give you my email as well.
Okay.
And it's kswatson@uic.edu. That's K.
Would you repeat that a little slower for me?
I sure will. KSWATSON @uic.edu.
UIC.edu. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks
to all of you all for giving this information out. We really need it. And a special thanks to you, Dr. Terry Mason, for organizing it. And I'm so proud of you to have been out here so long, giving us the information and helping the neighbor, helping the community. Thank you.
All I can say is to God be the glory. That's all I can say. Thank you so much, Maddie. Go ahead.
And to that point, before we get to the end, Dr. Mason, one of the things we want to really, really stress is what you talked about, this importance of prevention. And so one of the things that as FQHCs across the country are actually, because one of the people I was having a conversation with.
You should say what an FQHC is. People don't know what that is.
A federally qualified health center, which is a community health center, actually started in the 1960s, part of the war on poverty. They were created by the Johnson administration and through efforts by Dr. King and others that no matter, despite your ability to pay, no matter where you live, you should have access to quality health care. And so federally qualified health centers exist in many community areas throughout Chicago.
How can one find one?
You can go online to find a federally qualified health center, and you can just simply Google. Or you can also, if you want to know where, if there's a Miles Square in your neighborhood, you can call 312-996-2000. And if we're not the closest FQHC in your neighborhood, Dr. Mason, we will actually let you know where another one is in your
okay,
community area.
Great.
Because while we would love to have you, what's more important to us is that you get the care that you need.
And it's coordinated.
And it's coordinated care.
So if they find something, they can refer you at the University of Illinois Health Centers, particularly. If there's an issue that requires a specialist, they can do that?
That's right. And that's what it's perfect timing, Dr. Mason. Because one of the things I want to highlight and thank is that we have partnerships through a program through the where we work with the Loretto Hospital and the Austin community, as well as the Norwegian American Hospital. We actually have navigators in those community hospitals, Dr. Mason, that are using the guidelines that were developed by the CDC, where we are working with those community hospitals to ensure that women treated in those health centers get the same type of navigation and that timely navigation that Felicia, that Ms. Curtis talked about, that timely navigation has happened in those community health centers as well. And so one of the things
we're winding up on our last 3 minutes.
We are.
Let's give our guests an opportunity to make their some final points.
That's right.
If they could.
So we'll start with you, Dr. McLaughlin. Just some closing remarks that you want to leave our listeners with today.
I would say that first, thank you for letting me be here today. I feel so honored to be a part of this discussion, and it's something that's so important. I would encourage everyone on this show and everyone listening to put me out of business. I thank Dr. Mason for sharing the story of his mother. Cervical cancer is a terrible disease, and I see women with it every day. And I will continue fighting that fight with the women of the community. But I'd much rather you put me out of work get your vaccine, get your children vaccinated, get your pap smear. And thank you to the folks, Dr. Kinsey and Ms. Curtis and the entire program for providing that navigation to help women get to me.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Kinsey, Ms. Curtis, we'll start with you, Dr. Kinsey.
Thank you again, Dr. Mason, Dr. Watson, for allowing IBCCP to share program information to reach many of the listeners and even go further than that. And also just a reminder that we know that COVID-19 is very scary and it's put everyone at not a good place. But please continue to see your primary health providers, continue to get screened. Do not delay screening. Do not delay your health care services during this time. We want everyone to be as healthy as possible, and prevention and early detection continues to be key. So thank you again for having me on the show.
Thank you. And Ms. Curtis.
Yes, I want to echo Dr. Kinsey's comments and Dr. McLaughlin. Just continue to seek your medical care, consult with your medical provider, and if you don't have a home, as Dr. Watson has indicated, please call that number so that you can possibly obtain one. I want you to just please be well this year. Practice some self-care. Understand that we are in trying times, but the state of Illinois truly appreciates all that our citizens have done and all that our communities have done to help us fight the COVID-19. I want to reiterate the tagline, mask up, wash up, back up, sleeve up. You all are doing your tremendous job there. And thank you, Dr. Watson and Dr. Mason, for this opportunity for us to share and pour into the lives of your listeners. And we hope it has been edifying to them and that it is things that they can use to truly improve their health and their community. Again, for the opportunity.
Dr. Watson, thank you again for putting together a wonderful show. I want to give the number back out for the farm, 224-499-3620. That's 224-499-3620. You can call to get your order, get your shares, and we'll talk more about that, of course, every week that we're here. And we want to thank our engineer, does always a great job for making sure everything happens. Next voice you're going to hear is that Ms. Pam Morris-Walton, who's coming to make a joyful noise over the radio. And until this time next week at the same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as I leave you now in peace.
Fate would help me to go under, but there's a reason for my being.